Hello.
Hi, is that Scott?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Hi, it's Francesca from INS Law calling. Is now a good
Right.
time to talk?
I could speak,
Yes,
yes.
perfect. Just for data protection, would you be able to confirm your date of birth and postcode for me, please?
It's Scott McLeod, obviously. Scott George McLeod, date of birth 15/10/68. What is it? What else do you want, you know?
And your postcode, please.
It's EH76DW.
Perfect. Thank you very much. So just regarding, obviously, we began the phone call yesterday and it seemed to cut off.
Yeah.
And so just to cover, so what we were speaking about was your options, so different ways of applying to the scheme. So I'll just jump back onto those. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yep. So you know what the Scottish Redress Scheme is and everything like that. So
Yeah.
with your options, you're able to apply directly to the scheme by yourself without a solicitor. Or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fees Scheme. So these are solicitors that are paid by the government for assisting you with your application. So those solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you're successful or not with the application. So INS Law doesn't operate under the statutory scheme, so we don't claim the government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, so we're not paid by the government for assisting you. So what I'd just be able to confirm is also, have you had any communication or instructed any of the solicitor to act for you to
No,
know
no.
with the rescue or so? No? Perfect. So with our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if your application is unsuccessful, you'll pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing. So
Yeah.
if your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on time spent and then a success fee. However, the total fees, they cap. So it's no more than 16% plus the VAT of the redress payment. You'll never pay more than that agreed cap.
Right. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So make sure as well, so we can't guarantee the application will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award you. So they operate on a discretionary basis. So I can explain that in greater detail during the call as well. So do you have any questions at all for me? No?
No, no.
So if you decide to instruct us, so what we assist with, so this initial phone call, so we'll go through your eligibility to apply to the redress scheme. And then we submit the initial applications. If you're happy to proceed and you sign the contracts and everything, we'll get your application sent to redress. And then once they come back to us, then we gather and review all the evidence and put together an application pack for you. And then we'll be in touch to book a witness statement with you. So we'll prepare and submit the full application. We do all
Yeah.
the corresponding with the redress scheme. And then we can advise you then on any offer made and assist with any reconsideration or review processes in the scheme as well, if you're unhappy with the outcome or anything like that.
Yes.
So we'll also explain the statutory waiver if an award is offered to you. It's important, so accepting an award can affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. So you're not expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Yeah.
So you also have a right to cancel. So if you decide to proceed with us, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. And you can also authorise us to begin work immediately while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yeah,
Yes, fab.
yes.
And just one last thing, and then we'll go back to the application. So just so we're able to formally act for you as well, we'll require proof of your identity for verification purposes. So we'll
Well,
need, yeah,
I'm getting
go on.
a there's a courier coming today
Yeah.
to my address to get proof of my ID and that.
Who's that with?
I don't know. 'Cause I got a phone call from it's from you yourselves. It was like a Glaswegian girl I spoke to over the phone.
No, that wasn't us.
You sure?
Yeah, we haven't got any people from Glasgow here. I'm Welsh, I am.
That's strange, very, very strange.
So at the moment, so we're having a lot of communication with different clients. We're different lead gens. So the companies that contact people who have been in care, and then they get all your details. They come over and get you to sign contracts, get all the identity stuff, and then they then will pass your information over to a law firm. So they're contacting people in person.
So you know nothing about anybody coming to my house today to get
No, that's nothing to do with us. So
that
yeah, so
strange.
that Yeah, that will be a lead gen, and then they would then sell your application to a law firm. So it's like a business deal, basically. So with us, you speak to us and only us. So we deal with everything. We deal with redress. So it's from you to us to redress. Whereas with them, they then get your application, get all your information, and then they pass it on to another law firm. And then they,
Okay.
yeah.
So I wonder how. So I wonder how they got my phone number then.
This is what we're also trying to figure out because a lot of them must be doing cold calls.
Right.
Yeah.
Crazy. And so, because the person's supposed to be coming in today, so you know nothing about. Well, I'll just stick with you then, because
Yeah.
that sounds a bit funny they make, and that sounds a bit strange.
Yeah, they're being very, not say like hands-on, but they're being very forward to try and get people to sign up with them. So that's why they come into your door.
Right, got you.
But yeah. So if they do come tonight, if you say to them just that you didn't want to proceed with them, they can't force you. They can't.
Right.
But yeah, as long as you've not signed anything with them, that's absolutely
No,
fine.
I've not signed. I've not signed nothing at
Yeah.
all. No.
Okay. Fab. Yeah. No, that should be okay then.
Right, that's fine.
So with the ID, so like I said, someone's coming, so we'll need photographic ID and then a proof of address letter. So if it's been sent to you within the last 3 months, so to comply
Yeah.
with the anti-money laundering regulations. So
No
I'll send you over
problem.
an email as well, just regarding what we can accept. But do you have any photographic ID at all?
I've got my passport, that's up to date.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And I've got rent, and when you pay your rent and all that, like,
Yeah, so
I've
yeah,
got.
fab. So any letter, bank statement, anything, as long as it has your name, current address, and the date on it that's after the 13th of May, that's absolutely fine.
I've got that, yeah.
Yeah, fab.
Got
So
that.
you can send those to us on WhatsApp or on email, whatever's easiest for you.
Yeah, that's fine then, that's fine.
Perfect. So just a few more questions with the application now, and then we'll move on to the care setting. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, fab. So, have you received any relevant payments before? So, criminal injuries compensation,
No.
advance payment scheme payments, no?
No.
And do you have any criminal convictions at all?
I have, yeah, but my last conviction was in 2005, but that was for driving.
Yeah, and have you received any for anything relating to violence or sexual offences?
Nothing at all, no.
No, no problem. Oh, bear with me 2 seconds. Hi, sorry, can you
Yeah, I can hear
hear me?
you.
Sorry, I think the call went all funny then. So have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses at all?
No.
No. And regarding your application as well, you're able to nominate a beneficiary. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd get in touch with them. So you can do this now or at a later date. So we need some details.
My
We need
daughter.
some other details. Is that okay?
My daughter.
Yeah, would I be able to get her full name, please?
It's Lisa Marie McLeod.
Lisa, yeah.
Yeah, Lisa Marie.
It double barrel or a middle name?
Double barrel.
And her date of birth?
It's 23/6/88.
And do you have an email address or a telephone number for her?
I didn't ken it off by heart, and I didn't ken how to look up, like, I've got her address and that, like,
Yeah, so I need her address and then just a form of contact. But if you can send this over to us afterwards if you'd like, if that's easier.
Great. See what happened to that. No, sorry, I can hear. Here we go. Right, it's 94
Yeah.
Dull Dow Street, It's D-A-L.
Yeah.
D-O-W.
Dalbar Street. Now and what area is that? Sorry?
That's in Coatbridge.
Coatbridge is the best one. Two seconds. Just popping this all from the file.
That's right.
Okay. And so did you say with the email or telephone number, are you okay to send that over another?
I'll pass that on to you once I've finished talking.
Yeah, fab. Thank you very much.
You want the postcode to the Coatbridge where she is?
Is it ML55DJ?
That's correct.
All right, perfect. Google's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, excuse me. Okay, you can just keep on watching it, so it's okay.
Yeah, and do you happen to recall the address that you were in prior to being placed in care?
It's, if you just hold on, I've got some details here.
Sad.
Sorry, Kate, you can carry on, just carry on. What day are there? Right, sorry, what was it you wanted to know?
So the address that you lived in before you were placed into care.
Right. What's it all here? It's 43/4.
Yeah.
Bingham Drive.
What was that, sorry?
Bingham Drive. It's B-I-N-G-H-A-N.
And what area is that?
That's Edinburgh.
And would I be able to take the names of your mother and father, if that's okay?
Well, my father's dead, so is my mum. So it's my father's name was Mr. John McLeod.
Yeah.
Mother's name is, what was her full name again? It was Mrs. Hannah.
Hannah.
Now, what was she? Now, before she got married, she was called, what was her second name when she married my dad, before she married my dad? It was Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L.
Yeah.
Then she married my father, then she became Mrs. Hannah McLeod.
Okay, and did she marry after care or before care?
Yes, she did. My father died in 1978. My mum remarried again to Mr. John Garden. Mr. John William Garden.
John William Garden.
Garden is in front of house.
So which name did she have at the time that you were placed into care?
It was McLeod.
McLeod. Okay, fab. And would I be able to take the name of the GP surgery you're currently registered with?
Currently registered, it's excuse me now. Well done. If you get the address of the doctor's surgery, I'm at the moment. Just a second, pal.
That's all right, no worries.
There's no rest on it, but the rest Okay, what is it? Right, here we go. Right, it's WrestleRig Park Medical Center.
Yeah.
40
Alimore.
Alimore Crescent. The Alimore is spelled A-L-E-M-O-R. Double O R.
Perfect, I've got it here. That's fab. Thank you very much.
Right.
Okay. So moving on to the care settings now. So yeah. Would you be able to let me know the name of the settings you were in and then the time, the year that you were there, as much as you can recall?
Right. I was in, I first went into a place called For TV at a House. For TV is spelled, I'll get myself a little locked up here if I can't think. I'm trying to get the name of the place I was in for TV.
For TV.
It's spelled F O R.
Yeah.
T E for Echo. And it's
yeah.
V for Victor. I O T.
Yeah.
For TV at House.
You'll need to check up
the address of that, but I'm sure it's
Yeah, that's okay. I've got it here. That should be that's perfect.
Right, I was in there from 16th of September 1981.
Yeah.
To the 29th of the 1st 1982.
Perfect. And then where were you placed following that one?
I was followed by in a place called to the assessment centre up at Lasswade Road, Edinburgh.
What was it called, sorry?
The assessment centre.
The assessment, yeah.
Oh, assessment centre, Lasswade Road in Edinburgh. I'm sure it's last week, Road, like, I'm sure it's last week, Road, pal.
Last week.
Yes, in Edinburgh. But it's definitely called the Assessment Centre.
And do you recall when you were there?
I was there from 1982 to 1982, and I was in there for 6 weeks.
Okay. Is that one, is it called Howden Hall?
Howden Hall, that's correct. I'm getting mixed up with the other
place. No problem. Okay. And did you go to any others after that one?
Yes, I did, yeah. It's called Dr. Guthrie's Lysdee School.
Yeah, that's one I recognise.
I'm sure you would. Lasswade Road, Edinburgh. and I was in there from 1982 to 1984. And that's it.
There we go. Okay, so regarding your time in each of these care settings now, so part of this phone call is to take statements about any instance you can recall, your overall experience, how you felt, and then further down the line then we'll be in touch to do a witness statement with you. So it'll just be in a bit more detail, so it'll be more focused questions. The statement today is just to get the picture of it and any instance that you recall, like lone incidents. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So you were first placed into for TV at house. Did you go by yourself or were you a sibling or anything?
Sorry, can you repeat that? Sorry.
Were you placed here by yourself or with siblings? And then how come
myself.
You were placed into care?
It was myself.
Okay. And what was the reason?
I'm still not really being actually told by what the reason was, to be quite honest, was because I sent away for the records came for when I was in for TV at house. And they only sent me like a couple of pages, about five pages, eh? So it's not got the reason why I was in.
Yeah, so your parents put you into care,
yeah,
but you never knew why.
I think it was due to control the mirror think about it. Because it was just after my father passed away, basically, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And how was your time here?
How was my time in there?
Yeah, so did you experience any forms of abuse or is there any instance that you can recall?
Well, I've got a very good memory, so. Because as the way things stand at the moment, I still think about the past day, you know.
Yeah.
Right, in the Cessna Centre, at the time when I was in with just another two boys, eh? So.
This is in Howden Hall?
Howden Hall, yeah, because you put me in beside. Well, you're talking about for TV at house. See, I'm jumping.
I'm jumping. That's okay.
And for TV at house, like, you know, if you've done, like, at times they used, if you wet the bed, again, at night time.
Yeah.
If you press the buzzer because your door was always locked, yeah, then you're. I was in like a wee dormitory.
Yeah.
For TV at house, I think there was only about four or five years in. But when you press the buzzer, like if you'd done an accident on your bed, they would just let you sleep in it, you know, until the morning. And there were times, and sometimes like they would lock you in a room, you know. Like if you're out of control, or sometimes they would, the staff would actually sit on your back and they would put you to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, and they would sit on you and you could hardly breathe. You know, it wasn't a nice experience. You know.
No.
Then at times they would like if they gave you a row or whatever, then they would like sometimes give you a scalp at the back of the head or whatever it was, like, you know. But it was quite difficult in there, but I managed through anyway, you know.
Yeah.
But the verbal abuse, there were never any sexual abuse, right?
Yeah.
But the verbal abuse, it was only when the nurses weren't there, because for TV House was run by the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary.
Yeah.
You know, so depending on what member of staff was on, they would... They wouldn't be too nice to you, like, you know.
Yeah, so you dreaded which staff would come in.
Oh, it was just sort of like, no, I mean, I can still remember like staff members' names, like some of them, like, no, I mean, and, but it wasn't. Again, you were every time if you done something wrong, like, you know, they would just slam you to the floor, you know. Yeah. It was just, I think it would just be wee scalps in the back of the head, or they would like scalp you like on your backside, obviously, like, you know. But that's really all what I went through in there.
So it's just a lot of physical and emotional and.
Christ, I, oh, definitely. And it wasn't just me, it was the other four, it was the new people to see me.
Yeah. And then following that one, then you were placed into the assessment centre. And do you know why you were moved?
Assessment centre, I will read out what I was told. Reason for admission. It was non-attendance at school. Glue sniffing.
What was that, sorry?
Glue sniffing. Can sniffing glue.
So is that what you were doing in for TV yet?
Well, but that was the reason why I was put in there. No, that was the reason why I was put in the assessment centre.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm stealing and generally out of control behaviour.
Okay. So can I ask, so with the thing you're reading at the moment, so are they your documents of your...
Well, I wrote to the NHS.
Yeah.
I asked for my files, the time I spent in the Portivit House, etc. And they only sent me about 5-6 pages. That's all I got. That's the only thing I got. There's just four or five, you know, five sheets of paper. That's all they gave me.
Yeah, to sum up, what is it? The big chunk of your childhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah. Isn't it?
I know. Yeah, and it's that much upset today for what they gave me, eh?
Yeah.
I've read through it a few times, right, you know.
Yeah. So you were placing there, so you were considered to be out of control and displaying like challenging behaviour and things like that. And then how was your time in the...
In the assessment centre?
Yeah.
Well, the 6 weeks I spent in there, like, you know, you were locked up basically for 24 hours, apart from 5 hours when we used that. So that was about, 15 hours a day we were locked up.
Yeah.
You know, we locked up. We didn't even have a toilet or nothing, like, you know, in my room. And the door was always locked, like, you know, and if you've done an accident on your bed and that, like, you know, if you needed a toilet, you used to have to press the buzzer.
Yeah.
And there were times where staff would take hours to come to the door. Or sometimes you have to, no choice but do the toilet in your bed because you had no toilet in your room, you know. But the other times is basically, because as I said, I was in there with two people who done murder, like, you know, and it was scary a bit.
Yeah.
But as I said, the staff used to, how can I say it? It really depended on what staff was on that day or night time, you know?
Yeah.
You had the odd couple of members of staff that was okay with you, and you had other members of staff that was a bit verbal and aggressive, you know? But, you know what I mean? The staff would just let you out of your room on their own accord, if it became, I mean, if they wanted to.
But yeah.
I was locked in my room for hours before I could even get to the toilet, you know. And if you did pee the bed or whatever toilet you'd done on your bed, they would basically go they wouldn't have been happy with you. It's like they're blaming me for it, you know?
Yeah. And
you would get verbally abuse, and you would get, like, again, you would get slaps on the head. You know, as I say, there were only three. There was only 3 years was in there, and the as I said, being in with these two murderers, you know what I mean? It was scary.
Yeah, I can imagine. You were in there for apparently just a bit of bad behaviour, and you were put in there then with murderers.
Exactly. You know what I mean? They had me sitting in, like, when we got out, the only time you got out of a room was breakfast, well, your meals, and you used to get another exercise in the courtyard. And you would spend the rest of the time watching a film or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah.
Then after that was you locked up all night and you never got out, unless there was a nice member of staff that was on night shift. They would let us out to use the toilet. But a lot of the times, you press the buzzer. You could say, for instance, I pressed the buzzer at 10 o'clock at night. Sometimes they wouldn't come to your door till about 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, and at times, like, they were... used to get verbally aggressive and abuse, like, you know. But obviously, at that time, you thought it was right, you know. You didn't say, well, you know, I was only young.
This is what's meant to happen.
Exactly. I didn't say what was right or wrong. I thought it was right.
Yeah.
But that was, that's the thing that happened to me in there. But a lot of the times, the staff never—I don't know—they were just—they weren't that nice, you know.
Yeah.
But the verbal abuse, the aggression, and the abuse—I know is like, as I say, I was never—I wasn't sexually abused or anything in there.
Yeah, and when you say the verbal was, so what kind of things would they say to you?
Oh, they used to I can't, like, just say, for instance, like, they used to let us smoke in there.
Yeah.
And they were in control of your cigarette. So, for example, if it was time for you to go for a smoke.
Yeah.
It's like, if you ask for a light, and that member of staff never had one, so they had to walk along a big corridor to go into their office to get a lighter.
Yeah.
I would say it. I'm sorry for the swearing here.
That's okay.
They would basically say, oh, you're a fucking idiot, you know. Just things like that, like, you know. You should have a lighter. As I say, they used to take control of your cigarettes. So a lot of the, two of the guys that I was in with, they had a lighter inside their cigarette. You know? But I never took much of the day with them. I sat in a wee corner of my cell, like, you know. But if I asked for a light, they would... Oh, to have to go away to the office, like, oh, careful.
Yeah, like the world is over.
Oh, Jesus. But again, as I say, it's easy for me to say now, because obviously I'm older. But obviously back then, you didn't know what was right or wrong.
No, exactly. It's the only thing you did know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I did have a difficult time in there.
Yeah.
Like, I spent a lot of time, as I say, on... basically on my own, you know. But at night time, that was worse than night time. The staff would, like, something bang on your door. Just stupid things like that, like, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I went to in there. A lot of verbal and aggressive abuse.
Yeah. And then, I'm assuming then, so you were taken to Dr. Guthrie's then, and so they found a space for you, that they just decided where you were going to go.
So I was in Dr. Guthrie's, as I said, from 1982 to 1984. Right, when I was in there, obviously, because with the boy snuffing, no going to school and things like that. Like, when I was in there, I slept in the large dormitory. Up to 40, 50 mothers, you know.
What was that, sorry?
When I went in, they had me share in a big dormitory with another 14 boys.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, like, I would just keep myself in my cell, like, you know.
Yeah.
And there were myself and another two we used to get built. You know, but
the staff much. They were strange, you know. But anyway, what was doing? It was a difficult time. But what else could I have done? Most of the staff are working out. Again, they were getting bullied and things like that. Like, you know. But the staff punishing you for doing something wrong, like these, are punished. You've done something wrong any times. You had to, like, so a lot of the times, if one person done something wrong in the dormitory,
they punished the whole dorm for one person.
It was Mr. McCabe. It's, as I said, if one person done something wrong in the dormitory, he would punish the whole lot, yes.
Yeah.
He would take it and, like, we'd be either in our pants, shorts, or pajama bottoms, like, you know, he would take us into the courtyard and make us run through the courtyard. Sometimes it was pitching to the rain, you know?
Yeah.
And he used to get us lining up. As I said, 14, 15, they were lining up, and you had to, like, stand up straight and things like that. And you used to wear, you know, the footwear that Dutch people wear, what they call clogs. You used to hit us over the head. A few times it hit me over the head, like, you know, because I wasn't standing up straight. And if you spoke, he just used to hit you with a clog. It's clog, you know. And other things where, depending on if it was really, really bad there, they would take us to our gym and make us run through the gym until basically we couldn't run anywhere. You know? They used to, the staff in there used to, like, hit you in the head and things like that as well, like, you know. And again, if you went to bed during the night, because it was only one member of staff, it was a night shift, you had to lie in your the same bed for the morning, or a staff came on.
Yeah.
And, like, they used to, like, we had to line up and things like that. Like, even to do a shower, we had to line up. And we used to get the members of staff standing at the shower, can the shower door. And there were four showers, you had four different cubicles. And you used to get members of staff standing at the shower door just watching you.
Yeah.
But again, I'll repeat myself again, at the time, you thought it was right. You know? And there was other times where, like, what else can I say? There was a lot of things happened in there. Like, soon as you went to school, they were used to get education in there. Like, I still remember a lot of the teachers' names, you know, like Mr. Brogan. Like, if you spoke while you're in class, he used to just slap you right in the back of the head. You know what I mean? Or what he'd do was, he would grab his hand at the back of your head and actually push your head into the desk that you were sitting at.
So is this if you were just talking and walking past them?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll see for instance, just see you had a bit of chewing gum and you were eating a bit of chewing gum.
Yeah.
Like, all I remember when I was eating the chewing gum, he would come up to me and he would force my mouth open and he would put his finger in my mouth to get the chewing gum in my mouth.
Yeah.
If he couldn't get it, what he'd done was he'd put his hand in the back of your head and basically forced your head into the desk that you were sitting at. Just trying to think, again, the staff used to be very aggressive. And there was another one as well. It used to get called Mr. Lippy. That was the only name that people called him, because if they'd done something wrong, what he would do, he would grab your bottom lip and he would pull your lip until you run basically on your tiptoes. And it was quite sore. You know, you used to have a swollen lip for about a week. Again, if you reported it, nothing was done. You know?
Yeah.
And I had that a few times. I had that a few times for it. But as I said, I don't know his first name or his second name, but people we used to follow, Mr. Malippi, obviously used to. I'm sure if you took the case just one for other people that was in there, he would maybe tell you about him as well. Because I caught scabies while I was in Dr. Duffy's.
Yeah.
And I reported it. And I want to see a doctor. But it wasn't until I got my weekend leave, because sometimes I used to get out for the weekend to visit my mum.
Yeah.
Dead dad. And I went home, and my mum says, "What's that on your body?" And it was scabies. So Dr. Guthrie's never done nothing about it until, obviously, my mum intervened. So I had to see a doctor. But it's got one, what's the name of this? I've got scabies in 83. So I put it in November 1983. I've got scabies in Dr. Guthrie's. Impetigo, you ever heard the thing called?
Yeah.
I caught that as well, and again, nothing was done.
Yeah.
And so my mum had to intervene. See, back then, you've got to remember, back then, it's quite difficult cases like that to be in. A lot of your staff, I went through a lot of verbal aggression, aggressive abuse when I was anything wrong, you used to have you lining up, put to get a shower and things like
she
that.
She did like military.
Aye. Basically, it was like Vauxhall you were in. But again, we thought it was right, like lining up and just things like that.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Okay, so regarding everything you told me now, so I've written up the statements for you for each of the care settings. So the next step now is to go through the type of application that I can submit on your behalf. So there's two types. So there's the first one, which is the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered.
Uh-huh.
Or there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level you suffered.
Okay.
So based on the previous awards made by the scheme and everything you shared with myself today, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed one for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Fab. So you won't be required to attend any meetings at all with the Scottish Redress Scheme in person. So we'll provide the detailed witness statement on your behalf to the scheme. So once we book that in with you, if you're happy to proceed, so we write everything up for you, okay?
That's
fine, actually. Yeah. So based on the information that you provided, so next is for me to send over the contract to you. So it'll contain a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and a letter of authority,
right,
which is all the information I've shared with you today, along with the letter of authority, which gives us the permission to access records on your behalf.
That's
and then
fine.
It'll be a part one and a part two. So then that'll be all the information you've shared with me.
Right.
And the part two then is all the statement section. So you're under no pressure or obligation to proceed, but if you'd like, I can get those sent over to you, and I can stay on the phone if you'd like, and then if you have any questions or any issues, I can help. I can talk you through them if you like.
That's right.
Yeah.
But there's only one thing. When you're passing that document over the phone, I don't know how to actually stay on the phone with somebody.
Yeah. So are you able to put your phone on speaker?
It's on speaker now.
Yeah, so what phone are you using?
It's Samsung Galaxy.
So you should be able to go to onto the home screen whilst you're on call.
Actually on the home screen now.
Yeah. So I'll do this. I'll send those over and see if you can open them while on call.
Right.
So they'll arrive via email and text message.
Right. Yeah. Still waiting. are you called? INS?
INS Law, yeah. So I'm Francesca, so that name might be on the bottom.
Yeah. I just got 4 minutes. Right, here, here we are. Right, is it, dear Scott, you, is that the one where it's got my reference number on it, 101342?
Yeah, and then it'll say, please click the link below to e-sign your document.
All right,
it
should say that. Yeah. Click onto that. Right, sign your, oh, I've got it, I've got
it. Yeah, so when you open that then, on the bottom of the screen, there'll be a yellow, yellow box that says field required.
And when you, required field.
Yeah, so when you click on that then, it'll take you to each of the pages that require a signature.
Right.
And you should see then a tap to sign box.
Right, tap to sign.
Right.
Yeah. That's, right. And it's got add your signature.
Yeah, and then you just, you can either type it or you can draw it with your finger. So you can just draw like a squiggly signature.
Just do, was it Scott McLeod? Is it Scott McLeod or can I just do S McLeod?
So if you type it, preferably the full name, but if you're just drawing the signature with your finger, it can be whatever you want.
I'm just doing it with my finger.
Yeah.
Here.
And then you should be able to then click apply, I think.
Yeah, now, because my hands are numb. And the reason my hands are numb, I had an operation on my spine 2 years ago. My hands are still numb, so it's quite difficult.
That's okay, just take your time, it's okay.
I'll type it. I'm better typing it.
Yeah.
Scott McLeod. Right, what do I do there?
And then click, and then if you click on the yellow button again, then it'll take you to the next one.
I've got you. Tap to sign, type. Yes, McLeod. Scott McLeod, sorry. Scott McLeod. Right. Apply. Next one. Sync tap. Scott McLeod. Scott McLeod. Apply. One left. Tap to sign. Type. Scott. Scott McLeod. Right.
And then if you scroll then all the way down to the bottom of the contract, the very last page, and then there'll be, it should be then a little tick box that you're able to apply to click.
I confirm that my electronic signature is legally blinded.
Yeah.
It has the same legal effect as handwritten. Is that right?
Yeah, so if you just tick that little tick box and then the bluey purple box and that says submit should come like darker.
It's just got submit signature, is that right?
Yeah, so if you click on that then and then they should then get sent over to me.
No, I've just clicked on it, but it's no. Oh, I need to tick the box. Signature. Right, submitting. Submit signature.
Tap. And then it'll come up then with, it'll say verifying, and it'll just verify each signature then individually, I think.
Aye, right, it's come up that. So, oh, somebody's just trying to phone me. Pissed off. How do I get back? What?
There you go. So they've all come through, so it's absolutely fine. So I've got them all your contracts signed on my end now. So the next half an hour, so I'll send over your application to redress. And then if you could then possibly send over the passport and the letter, so you can do that on WhatsApp or email, whatever's easiest for you. And then once then redress have responded, we'll be back in touch to let you know. But in the meantime, if you have any questions regarding anything, do you have any now?
I've not got any questions at all.
So if you do have any questions in the meantime, just feel free, you can give us a call, email or WhatsApp, and I can do my best then to answer. But that's everything for now. So I'll get this sent over to redress.
Right. So how long does all this take? How long does it take?
So I'll submit it to redress today, and then within 2 to 3 weeks, then they should come back with an application number for you. And then as long as we have your passport and letter on file as well, then you move on to the evidence team that gather all of your records and get all the evidence sorted. And then we book in a witness statement with you. So sometimes all the evidence, it can take about 2 months. Some of them request extensions.
No problem.
And then we'll book in a witness statement with you then. And then when that final application then is submitted to redress, it can take, it varies. Some can take six, some can take nine. Like it's just, they've got a lot of applicants at the moment. So it just, it's one of them ones. But yeah, we'll keep you updated along the way as much as possible. And again, you're more than welcome to call us or message asking for an update as well. But yeah, that's everything. So.
So just to change, I'm just changing.
Sorry, the call's breaking up a bit there.
Sorry, it's me walking. It's just because the gardener's out cutting my front grass. He's got the casino. Right, so you're going to send something for me to send back to you for a copy of my passport and that, my identification?
So it won't be like a link or a form or anything, so you just send photos. So that email I sent you previously, so I think I sent it just before the e-signature one.
Yeah, what I'll do is I've got my carer with my carer still, and so I'll get him to
So you can do it via email, so you can respond to one of the emails, or you can send them on WhatsApp.
That's fine, my darling.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Francesca. Thank you.
That's okay. Thank you very much. Take care.
Bye. Bye.